Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I am excited to talk to my friend Tim Niver today. It has been a minute since we have spent time together.
It's true. Too
You are
long.
the, way too long. You are the host of Niver Niverland, which I'm sure you sort of landed by accident on becoming the voice of the hospitality worker in the restaurant industry, but here you are. You are also the proprietor of Mucci's. You also are hustling pizzas and frozen lasagnas. So I can't wait to ask you about what it's like to be in the packaged goods space. Also, you still have Saint Dinette in
Sure do.
a part of Saint Paul that has changed a lot. So let's just get caught up. I have some questions.
Please.
How is the packaged food pizza lasagna business going? Let's just start there.
Well, honestly, it's really, really difficult. I feel like I picked the hardest careers possible.
Pizza's hard.
It's just so competitive, and you wouldn't think, oh yeah, pizza, everybody loves pizza, but especially in these north midwestern states, there's a whole aisle dedicated to frozen pizza in a lot of places. And so the competition from bigger companies, those folks with money and marketing budgets and that don't necessarily use the same level ingredients, have a real big advantage, and they package multiple brands of pizzas and so forth and so on. So I'm just a little guy still, 15, 20,000 pizzas a year, 10,000, 15,000 lasagnas a year. But I like it, and I like it enough to keep doing it. Just like the restaurant industry, though, the reason I'm at a new co-packer now is because prices have gone up from all of the goods that we buy, especially good ingredients. And then over the past few years, wages have gone up. So these companies are having a hard time not passing their costs on to me. And I'm just trying to hustle to make the best product I can and still get a profit. So it's good, but there's a lot to it. And the hustle is not yet really financially worth it. But in my heart, trying to make the business go and keep it going, it's good.
And when you add that on to being the owner of Mucci's, also Saint Dinette, I mean, do you work 50, 60, 70 hours a week?
I've balanced my life nicely. I'm very thankful that I've had a lot of employees with me for a long time. So I've been very fortunate that my managerial staff is just so solid. And so while I'm still in the restaurants 4 days a week, on the floor 4 days a week, I'm able to balance it, and I have to. I'm not as young as I used to be, so I have to take the time to lie down or sit down. A cooking's therapy for me, just for the family or whatever. So I find my time. I'm good still. My body
And
works, doggone it. It still works. You gotta go.
to get to the place where you have managers that you can rely on like that, I imagine you pay better, you probably pay more. You probably treat them better. Why do some people have like these people that stay with them forever, and then other people, it's just a revolving door and they're constantly complaining about that they can't get anybody to work?
Well, I don't think I pay better. The people that I pay, I want to pay them more all the time. I think it's hard for people to actually get paid what they're worth ever. I think, it's a very fun and fair work environment. People have grown from within, and so they have a vested interest in things. I think I'm good to work for with. I'm putting the work in next to the people putting the work in, and I think, it provides a connection for longevity. There's some owners that are able to not, I have small places, so it mandates me to be working in them really. But I think these folks like where they work. They like me, and sometimes that's enough. Our industry is not full of big salaries. there's a cap what a small place can pay. There's a cap what a big place can pay. And so, you know, I think I do a good job mostly with how they feel at work.
Which isn't that funny that you get back to how you feel doing the work that you do. And I have been someone that has known my whole career that pay is not what drives me. What drives me is working with people that I like and working for someone I like. That's really for me the primary driver. But it.
And it becomes natural then, right? It just becomes like a natural thing for you to kind of, you know, do it that way. I thought I was, you know, back in the day, you know, maybe 10 years ago, maybe six, I was still looking to expand and have multiple concepts, so that in part they could all help feed me. And I don't feel like that is the career path I'm on anymore. You know, just things have changed so heavily, and in an industry that previous to all the stuff that went down was hard to make margin in. And now, no, we're scraping. We're scraping it. It's okay. You know, break even is really good for a restaurant.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a lot of cases, I'm looking forward to 2024. I feel like I've had enough of the, all right, what's gonna happen? You know, hope the hope. And I'm just like, screw it. 2024 is gonna be good no matter what. I will figure it out. And that could be more change, but also I still love what I do, like you say.
Yeah.
So grinding.
Can we talk about Saint Dinette? Because that was such a fun, is such a fun gastropubby, elevated place. You do a great brunch. It was right outside the farmers market in St. Paul. So great space. Lots of, you know, revitalization of St. Paul kind of started happening in that lower town area. And then conversely, sort of the dismantling of downtown maybe started happening somewhat in that same area too. What is the feeling in downtown St. Paul in your area now? It had such great vibes for a long time. I know there's been a lot of homelessness that's happened over there. Is it feeling like you're getting back to 2024 status?
Well, no, the last couple of years have been a slow climb. We're still about 30% off overall. The owners of the building are working with us. The other neighborhood restaurants that are there, we're connected, and it feels to me, you know, very succinctly that when St. Paul has events going on, the city's great. And it's full and it's vibrant and it feels lovely. And when that doesn't happen in a sleepier city, say than Minneapolis, it feels sleepier. St. Paul still has vibes. St. Paul still has great places. And the farmers market, you know, like seasonally, things are weird too, because you know where you're going to the hockey game, so you probably stay on that side of town, you know. So lower town doesn't always have kind of that centralized event scenario happening. During December of 2023, just a couple of months ago, one of the best months we've had in 6 years, and I talked to somebody about that, and I said, "Oh, that sucks," and they're like, "No, that's good." And I'm like, "Yeah, it sucks, but it took so long to get back there again," and I'm really pleased and like so happy with any business that rolls in. Don't take it the wrong way; it's more about the longevity, consistency. The ability not to ride the roller coaster seasonally like we have been. And so the highs are high and the lows are low. And it happens to be that way every year in the restaurant industry, but just a little bit more dramatic now. People haven't returned to work downtown as much as I would hope. And you know, I get it. People don't want to go back to work. It's controversial. They're
But
at
it's
home, they're
also not
enjoying themselves.
sustainable.
Well, I think in a lot of cases, you're probably right.
I
And
have this bad, I have these thoughts, and I don't say them out loud very often, and I'm just going to say them here. I've been on both sides. I've been a business owner and I've been a freelance worker, and I was in a manufacturing situation. So we had to have people come to work to manufacture the stuff that we sold. Then we had salespeople, and they wouldn't have had to come to work to sell the stuff that we sold. But you want to have culture. You want to have a company that you are communicating and innovating. Those things are really challenging to happen when you're not going into the office. And I'm sorry, if you're under 28 years old and you are working and you're not going into an office, you're not going to get promoted. You're not going to get the same type of FaceTime exposure that your peers had, and it's not good for you. Now, do we need to have more flexibility at work? And can we have learned so much from this for working families, for people to go to the doctor, for people to maybe have more paid time off that they can use at their leisure? All of that is good. We've learned a lot of good things. But you cannot just keep pretending that all of us working from home in our cloistered environments is good for society, good for business, good for human beings, good for mental health. It's not. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, you don't have to care. I love, you have very clear opinions, and I really like that about you. You say your piece. I just think that the habits because of these work for home things, the habits of people just overall in mass have changed. There's more restaurants in the suburbs worthy of visiting. People have moved to where the people are. They've seen it. And it tugs at the strings that are kind of frayed a little bit when you have the urban areas, differently handled than the suburbs from a, say, a financial standpoint or whatever. So not only have people's habits changed when they don't come downtown, and the kind of the rules around, say, minimum wage and so forth, add that in. There's just so many factors to why people aren't where they are or where they used to be. I get it. I do believe, though, that when St. Paul starts at a level 2 or 3, because that's the amount of people you have there, you're not really going to add up to anything other than 4. But when you start at 5 and 6 and 7, you can get to an 8 in terms of capacity in the city. And so culturally, I think things fade away, and that interpersonal kind of connection and a buzz and a vibe. And I get it that things change, but we're hopeful that the restaurants are the place where people come back together, where they come back and meet and see and open up again. People are cloistered, aren't they?
Yeah. And I think habits have changed. Like, I'm a person that ate out before the pandemic 4 times, 5 times a week. When you change your habits and you cook at home more and you realize it's less expensive, let's be honest, and you don't have to worry about drinking and driving, and you're at home and you can just sit on your couch and it takes very little effort. That feels good for a while. But for me, I have really missed that buzziness of events. I've missed the buzzy culture of being in a city, participating, meeting people, eating cool food. I think we're getting back to it a little bit, but I also know I financially am never going to be where I was and eat out 5 days a week again. I just can't. It's gotten too expensive. So now I'm picking and choosing. I can make, a hamburger at home. So I used to always go out for hamburgers. Now I'm going out for more fine dining or fresh noodles, things that I can't literally make at home by myself. And I thought that when we came back from the pandemic that fine dining would have a moment. I think it's been slower to build, but I still think it's building. I also love the feeling of a neighborhood restaurant. Like Mucci's has such a good feel inside it and that vibe of being in your neighborhood. And those are the restaurants that have sustained people.
I agree. And the neighborhoods have sustained us equally. They stayed with us. They keep coming to visit. Those people didn't move, say, out of their apartment downtown to somewhere else. They're still there. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting how we are changing and evolving. And every industry is evolving too. Like we're just coming off of the Minneapolis City Council voting that, Uber needs to have a set mandated $35 an hour wage. It's so crazy to me that we have so many people in the hospitality industry. Like, why? It's one of the largest sectors of employment. And it is crazy that we get so little like feedback, support from city councils, from government, from people. We were one of the last people as an industry to get help during COVID, yet you were on the front lines. It's been such a crazy run. And it's so hard for restaurateurs. I just want people to know that it really is. Like, not only are food costs crazy, but all of the pay, all of the increases that have just little bits here, little bits there, little bits there.
Yeah,
It's hard.
1 in 2%. We really, those single percentage points are huge. They're just massive. And I was looking at labor numbers, and I've been starting to say to my team, hey, I don't think our labor number is going to go down, because it isn't, because there's two more years of the minimum wage increases, which basically goes to servers, because everybody else is now making 20 plus dollars an hour easily, everyone. And I just feel like people have their fingers in our business so much, and it's like, we don't want to be sad sacks. We're just trying to figure out everything we do is trying to cut labor, but there's just no way to do it and keep service and do all the things we used to do the same. It's really hard.
Does this gets to like the reason I wanted to speak with you was the New York Times had a big article that came out where 30 chefs kind of weighed in on the state of the industry. And frankly, it was somewhat depressing. It was honest, I thought, but it felt kind of depressing, just like, oh, here we are again. It feels like we're almost right where we were before the pandemic started in talking about labor, in talking about mental health, in talking about what's sustainable for our industry. With that said, is it just possible that things are going to change and we'll just have a consolidation and we just won't have as many restaurants and people will have their, destination restaurants they go to for birthdays and anniversaries? They'll have their neighborhood restaurants they go to for community and getting out, and we'll just cut out a lot of the middle.
There is a lot of saturation. Absolutely. We've discussed that, how many Italian places do you go to? How many steakhouses do you go to? How many burger joints do you go to? There is a lot of saturation. And there is a natural tide in our industry. You could look at the amount of openings and the amount of closings, and maybe the closings a little bit more than the openings, but people are still doing it. I think there's a post-pandemic hope that I have, that those folks that are starting businesses now don't feel like they have to be changing how they've done things for the past 10 years to keep up and get with it. I think if you're concepting right and you're coming in and you're pricing right for now, it's better than somebody seeing your lasagna go up $5.
And let's talk about lasagna for a second, because I like lasagna is not cheap to make, right? Cheese isn't cheap, meat isn't cheap, making your own sauce. And yet there was part of this discussion in the New York Times article about like how much you can charge for Italian food versus how much you can charge for a steak and the perceived value of, I thought it was fascinating. Someone said, well, no one wants to pay more for black and brown food made by black and brown people. And I was like, wait a second. So, and then I like Mexican food, Indian food, like, is that a thing? But clearly it maybe is a thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I guess, and I'm not talking about, say, something specific, but there was discussion a few years ago, a place opened and chef was from Mexico, I believe, or his family was from Mexico, and the tacos were really good. But he was charging $8 a taco. And everybody's like, well, we can't pay $8 a taco. And I'm like, look at that taco. There's four shrimp in there, man. How are you not going to pay $8 for this? And what has happened is, culturally, we look at certain foods that have been cheap in history, and you really got to get rid of it. There's certain style places and certain level places, I really believe that folks need to kind of get it through their heads, politely, please, that food has always been undervalued, and this work has always been undervalued. And I, it's it, somebody can cook a cheap rice, and somebody can cook a rice that is so dope and so thought out, but it's just rice, right? I mean, we have Arborio in Italy, and nobody's gonna bash an eyelid when they're gonna, oh, you know, damare, we're gonna put like frutti damare all over that risotto, and you're gonna pay $35 for it, no sweat.
Yep.
You put that same amount of seafood into three tacos, and nobody wants to pay $6, $8 a piece.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So, yeah, it's true. You define your own food, you define your own place, you define your own pricing. And but people do always want a reason why. They want to know why you're charging that. And nowadays, you know, like we've done price increases 4 times in the last year. And
That
I'm
has
just
to
trying to catch
feel
up.
bad. Like, I know
It
you got to do it, but
sucks.
it just must feel bad for you because you've got so many regulars.
Yeah, and I'm not, and it's slow and it's meticulous and it's, you know, the same product. And I, you know, I don't, another thing that I've said often lately is a restaurateur that drives around in a Porsche. I mean, there's very few of us. I don't have a Porsche. But people, and why shouldn't a restaurateur be able to be wealthy from a restaurant? But I do believe that people feel they're getting taken advantage of if you're making too much money at a restaurant. I really do. It's a weird thing.
It's
But
so
I,
funny too. Like, what's too much money anymore? Like, I'm older, so I'm on the tail end of my earning life. And I'll have conversations with my daughter and her friends and my nieces, and you know, they're in the 24 to 30 range. And their idea of what they should be making, maybe that's okay. Maybe that's what it is now. But like I'm looking at it and I'm like, wait a second, why should you be making $100,000 at your second job? Like, what happened to moving up? What I don't mean to sound like Gladys Kravitz over here in the 100-year-old room, but like I wonder if we have just such a skewed idea of what is right. Because one thing you said at the very beginning of this podcast that I've been thinking and you articulated it very well is nobody really does get paid their worth. The system just isn't set up that way.
nor is it always even. It's never even. Nobody makes the same amount. There are tiers. You are awesome, or you're mediocre at it. You're doing it to get by, or it's, you know, or you're an innovator. Everybody d makes different money. The inequity in the kitchen and the front of the house. Well, I've always said that chefs have a path to be famous that servers don't. And so if you're climbing, you can climb, but it's up to you to climb. A server will have to transition to management to open up a joint, you know, but they don't, there's not the recognition, you know. So I just, you know, like I and being front facing and dealing with people, anybody can choose to do that or not, or you want to cook. That's up to you. So the inequity is caused by what people are willing or not willing to do. And then it's historically been worse because wages were way too low in the kitchen, and now we've corrected. And now businesses are, I think one of the people in the article from the New York Times said, yeah, we're going to give them more money, and we're going to try to make it work because they, you know, they can't stop.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time. I'm all for everybody doing better. I'm all for the city helping people. And at the same time that they're helping people, I believe there also has to be administration and policy that helps a business succeed. The businesses cannot take on all of the
Costs of health
pressure,
care, of
financial
child
pressure.
care. Mental health care. I mean, why are we asking businesses to do that?
I agree.
Why
And
don't we
I,
just have a system that everyone can pay into and help everybody lower their rates? Like, I sound like a socialist here, but when it comes to medicine, it is the best idea because you're always going to have the opportunity to buy more, buy better, but you'll at least have something. Right now, we just have people that you can barely afford to have anything, or you have to go work for a business and put it on their shoulders.
Yep. And mental illness and everything that happened over the last couple of years, and some of the younger generations and their awareness of what they've gone through, and we have to exert on understanding what people really need, and that comes from above me, man. I can do all I can do, but there's a bigger picture out here that would take a lot of pressure off people just on a daily basis. Who would reduce their stress? They would be able to get seen and get medication for what's ailing them. And then I think you have a little bit more balance in your
Yeah.
workforce. I think you really do.
Let's say something positive in our last 5 minutes together, because
Yeah.
I feel like I just unloaded on you all of my grievances. But there are so many cool new restaurants coming. We
Yeah.
have a whole spectrum of new folks in the industry that feels really good.
Yes. Excitement. So, Diane Mua at Diane's place is just getting ready to tip off there. Boucheron, a lovely little redo of an old revival space. I haven't yet eaten there, but I'm gonna go. Oh, I just had
Dario.
the other. Okay, so much buzz.
So
It's
good too.
you. Ah, and so what I really like is. The fact that this new energy exists. I don't want to be like a what do you call it? Like a wet towel.
Yeah.
And that's not it. We speak in reality so that people can understand. That does not mean that excitement and passion and things go away. It's just the business side, right? But moving ahead, seeing these places be busy, creating buzz around where they are, all the boats rise when things are fun and popular and feeling good. All the boats rise when the community comes together and celebrates a new place. And also, visits an old one that has already provided them a lot of memories. There's a lot of good out there. It's still a great industry. People are, they're, I'm not a sad sack at work, man. You're never going to catch me like that. You're never going to catch me like
Yeah.
that. I might have one bad day a year, whatever, but you come to our place and none, all that other bullshit. Excuse me, can I say that?
You can.
All that other stuff melts away, and you just take care of people, and you're actually there doing what you're supposed to do, which is to
Providing
serve.
hospitality. Yep.
When you can think about that more alone without the other parts of it, that's where the magic is.
People can find you at Mucci's. They can find you at Saint Inette. They can buy
Yes.
your pizzas, your lasagnas in the frozen food section, and they can listen to your podcast, Niverland, all about the restaurant industry. Thanks for catching up with me. I'm sorry it's been so long.
Hey, no sweat. It's just like it was the last time. We're
Yeah,
cool.
I'm going to see you soon.
Yes, hope to.
Thanks, Tim. Okay,
Take care.
bye-bye.
Bye.